Good morning and welcome to our time of worship here at Countryside Community Church. We're delighted that you have joined us. My name is Jim Hollister and it is my honor to serve with you here in the name of Jesus Christ.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 31 to 46. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed one, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. The Word of God.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy and loving God, we give you thanks for your presence with us. We give you thanks that you are strength in our weakness, that you are wisdom in our folly, that you are peace in our disturbing times. Holy Spirit, we ask, as we always do, that once again you would pour yourself out on us, that you would once again take the words of the scriptures which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the Word of God, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we start today with an important question that this text raises. So what does it mean to bear fruit of the kingdom? What does that mean? Well, we find ourselves again. Jesus is in the temple in that space between Sunday and Thursday evening of Holy Week. And he's still in this conversation with the chief priests and the elders. You may remember from last week that they had come in and asked Jesus a question. And so we are now, Jesus tells the chief priests and the elders a second parable about vineyard workers and authority. And so Jesus starts out with this really, really familiar biblical image. We talked about it some last week at this service. Our call to worship this morning from Psalm 80 was a reminder of it, this idea that the vineyard is God's people. And so Jesus tells another story about a vineyard and authority. This one goes like this. So there was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower. He leased it to his tenants and went to another country. So this is the setup for the parable. And taken right out of the Old Testament tradition, taken all right out of the story from Isaiah that we shared with the kids this morning. So this is the setup, right? That there is the vineyard, the landowner has done absolutely everything to make it the perfect opportunity, leases it out to the tenant farmers, and when it came time for harvest, the landowner sent his servants, his slaves, to collect his share of the harvest. Now, there is nothing about that that is unusual in the slightest. It was a sort of arrangement that got made all the time. It was a regular thing. There was nothing about this that would have surprised anybody who heard the story. It's what comes next that's surprising and, well, frankly, disturbing. And so the slaves come to pick up the fruit, and the tenants instead attack them. They grab one, they outright kill another one, they stone a third one. And so again, the landowner sends more slaves. And they behave towards the second bunch exactly the way they did towards the first bunch. So finally the landowner says, wait, I'll send my son. Surely they will respect my son. Surely they're not so lost to the way in which people react to one another. Surely they're not so barbarian. So he sends a son. And they take him. And they throw him out side the wall, and they kill him. Now Jesus stops here and asks the chief priests and the elders, and apparently by now some Pharisees have gathered as well, asks them, so what do you think the landowner will do? What do you think should be the response? What's the reasonable response? And they said, well, that's obvious. Yeah, take those buggers and just give them the devil. Throw the book at them. Kill them. Just punish them immensely because they've done such a terrible, terrible thing. And Jesus says, have you not read the scriptures? Have you not read the scriptures that from Psalm 118, where it says, the stone that the builders have rejected have become the cornerstone. It is the Lord's doing. It is amazing in your eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The kingdom will be taken from you and given to people who produce the fruits of the kingdom. Now, we need to pause for a minute and remember who it is that Jesus is talking to. Right? He's talking to the religious leaders and the elders. He's talking to the chief leaders of not only the religious leaders, but of all of the people. He's talking to the folks who are on the top. He's talking to the folks who are in charge. And he's not talking to all of the Jews, because remember that all of the Jews is the vineyard. And in this parable, the complaint is not against the vineyard, it's against those who are supposed to be caring for the vineyard, those who are supposed to be stewards of the vineyard. Now, that's important to remind ourselves because this parable over centuries has been used to say, therefore, God doesn't love the Jews anymore, and it's okay if we do terrible things to them. Let's be clear. That's not what Jesus says here. It's not what Jesus says here. His beef is not with all of the Jews. His beef is with those who are supposed to be in leadership, those who are supposed to be caring for the nation of Israel. Jesus is chewing out the political leaders for not doing their job. It's not all the Jews. We have to be careful and remind ourselves that, because the other thing that we're likely to do is say, well, see, what happens then is the Jews cease to become the chosen people of God, and we as Christians become the chosen people of God. Now, the danger with that, besides the fact that, again, it's not what Jesus says, the danger with that is then we don't take the challenge seriously. The danger with that is that then we don't pay attention to what it is Jesus is really trying to tell in this parable. If we go that route, then the parable no longer applies to us. And typically, if we take the words of Jesus and say, well, yeah, but that doesn't matter to me, that takes us into dangerous places. That takes us into terribly dangerous places. Which brings us back to the question we started with. So, if Jesus says that God will take the kingdom away from the kingdom of God, away from them, and give it to people who will bear fruit of the kingdom, then what does that mean? What does that tell us? However else we understand this text, the one thing we want to be absolutely certain is that we are the folks who get to stay in the kingdom, not the folks who get thrown out. We want to be the folks who are bearing the fruits of the kingdom, not the folks who are bouncing off and bouncing under the chief cornerstone. So what are the fruits? What are the fruits of the kingdom of God? Let me give you the short answer. The short answer is that the law and the prophets and what Jesus said and did show us the fruits of the kingdom. But if we want to know what the fruits of the kingdom are, then we go back to say, what, how does the law describe about how we should treat each other? How do the prophets talk about when people fell short? What does that look like? What were they doing so that we don't do that? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus spend his time on? What did Jesus focus on? What did Jesus say? And if we're going to look for a TLDR, if we're going to look for the cliff notes, if we're going to look for our sound bite, then we go back to the greatest of the commandments. That the greatest commandment, that two-part direction that Jesus gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That gives us the perfect starting place to begin immersing ourselves in the answer to this question, the fruits, bearing the fruits of the kingdom, include doing what God has called us to do. Treating each other the way God has called us to treat one another. And the more deeply we look at that, the more we find that it's becoming more and more and more different than what we see around us. Without getting needlessly political, there was a presidential debate this week. Whatever else we can say about it, we can say that the two men on the stage didn't do a very good job of expressing love for one another and love for God. What does it mean for us to bear the fruits of the kingdom that we organize our lives around the way of life that the scripture points us to? Not because if we don't, we'll get thrown out, but because of the love that God has expressed, has shown us in providing absolutely everything we need to be in. Grace to you and peace. Amen. So this is the God that we serve. God gives us what we need and calls us to use it for the kingdom of God. So we can go into our days absolutely fearlessly as we continue together to develop hearts for God in a spirit-filled community and to share God's love and grace throughout the world. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Amen. God.